Chelsea Tips preview. No, it's not. Fucking Footy and Frothies. Let's finish that show on one. It's whatever show this is. Footy and Frothies. Check out Chelsea Tips. Do that. But we've got a pretty good round four. We've got to get stuck into Easter weekend. Easter's here early this weekend. Snuck up on everyone. But interesting game. It's around, I reckon, 3 weeks ago we would have been frothing for. Again, the bit of the blooms off the rose heading into the round, but some interesting games to talk about. What's caught your eye just here?
Oh, over the weekend, Sunday for mine. Obviously, Sharks bounce back factor, hopefully, up against the Canberra side. But the big one for mine is the Warriors and Knights. Mm-hmm. I think you're going to get a real good indication of where both of these sides are at the moment. The consistency out of the Warriors and that the forward pack battle should be a big one. But RTS up against Kalen Ponga, the battle of the ones in this one for mine. I think one of those is just going to absolutely take this game and make it their own.
Looking forward to that. But let's kick off. Let's not spend too much time on this. Poor old Barney's got an early morning. We're going to kick off Thursday night with the Roosters hosting the Panthers at Allianz. For the Chooks, Lindsay Collins out, Sandon Smith out, which sees Luke Keary come back in. Terrell May starting. Super coaches everywhere have found a gleam of hope in a dark, dark year. Which also means that Egan Butcher comes in onto the bench. His brother Nat starts. For the Panthers, no Cleary, hamstring, no Sorensen. There's some rumours around about Yo, but haven't heard anything material beyond that. So that means Mav Guy makes his first grade debut with Luke Garner starting again. And Brad Schneider is named at 7. I imagine we see Luai taking over some chief playmaking duties, we would hope.
Jim, so.
How are we lining this up? This is a cracker. This is a cracker because I'm not quite sure what to do.
Yeah. I've just really liked what I've seen out of the direct running with Tedesco and Walker. And I think if they can limit the time where the ball gets stuck during these backline movements without Cleary, let's be honest, the kicking game really suffers for Penrith, and I'm not sure who is going to fulfill that role, to be honest.
Schneider,
I imagine we've got Schneider coming in, and he does have, from the limited experience we've seen, does have a decent long boot, but I'm not sure how precise it's going to be, and the playmaking for the back rowers, which has been a big part of what Penrith's set themselves up for this year. Sorensen out as well as a big out for mine, so I'm leaning towards the Roosters 1-12. I think you'll see some more opportunities created for the outside backs of the Roosters than what you might see for the Penrith team in this one. Although if they're both given equal opportunity, it could be absolutely anything. So Roosters 1-12, Teddy man of the match, and Dom Young first try.
For the record, Penrith have won the last 8 against the Chooks.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, Roosters have won 7 of the last 9 from Allianz. So interesting, whatever that means. Look, I turn this show on, all geared up to tip the Chooks. I guess I'm going to because I'm scared of it, but obviously got to be scared of Penrith. But I agree with what you said. I think Roosters have just stick to that direct play, stick to the areas of the field, and can match the physicality of Penrith if they're fired up enough here. You mentioned the forwards. So what a clash of outside backs. Manu, Suaali, Dom Young against Tuo, Tango and May. That's going to be an absolute ripper. But I'm going to.
Taruva's out there as well.
And Taruva out there as well. But absolute ripper. I'm going to go with you and go with Teddy, man of the match, started this year with a point to prove. It's been fantastic every game. And what bigger platform to keep hammering at home than against the Panthers. First try, I'm going to go looking for something a bit different and go with. Actually, now where I'm going to go. Luke Garner getting caught on that edge out there.
Yeah.
And Tupanil. I'm going to, I know I've tipped him before, but going to go Tupanil to get on the board here with a bit of footwork, either scoring or popping a ball out to his centre. So let's go that way. 1-12 Roosters, but very, very reserved in terms of confidence levels. Friday afternoon kicks off at 4 p.m. on Good Friday with the Bunnies hosting the Bulldogs. And once again, fucked if I know what to do here, but. Apparently the Bunnies have won their last 5 Good Friday games against the Dogs.
Right.
100th first grade game for Jacob Host. And God help me out, Barn. What am I doing?
I was all geared up to tip the Dogs.
Yeah.
To be honest, me I too. Just think their attitude through the middle of the field's been brilliant. I'm not sure if it's enough though. There's a little bit more strike here with Luttrell if he decides to have a crack.
It has Luttrell written all over it, doesn't it?
Yeah, absolutely does. Backs to the wall, Luttrell. You know Murray's going to be putting in all over the place, I can see Kulamatangi coming off one of his season best performance, backing that up and just really punching a hole through that left hand edge defence of the Dogs. Probably aiming mainly at Burton, in between Burton and Crichton there. So I think they're going to have their hands full, and I don't know if they're going to have any time to actually worry about trying to set up the attack for the Bulldogs in this game. So I can really see, yeah, if it comes back to it, if Cook gets on the front foot with some Murray work through the middle of the field, it should open up enough for South Sydney to... No, I don't see South blowing the Dogs off the park by any stretch, but South's 1-12, man of the match, Murray. I'm going to go with the first try scorer, White, maybe off a Kulamatangi offload for him to score on that right edge.
It was remiss of me to actually mention the teams. Damien Cook's back into the starting side. Havili's back to 18th man. Cheekam and Shaq Mitchell come into the team. Sean Kepi's dropped. Seraldo unchanged from last week. I again had the same feelings as you, because as I said, at the end of the day, I have to sit and say that the Bulldogs attack still wasn't blow away in that game. They scored 30 points, but
I'm not sure they get more than double figures here.
Correct. So. I think it's a pack where it's a game as well where the Bunnies pack won't be out-muscled, where they have been so far. They match up fairly well size-wise, and that'll keep him in the game enough to get Luttrell into the game. I'm going to get him out of the match as well.
Yeah.
And I've got to go something different, don't I? Let's go with AJ to actually get on the board first out wide there. But it does have, after an indifferent last week, I think Whiten gets up for this after the run.
Backs to the wall, and I think you'll see some of the top perform, like these top paid guys from the South.
If nothing
team
else,
really
individual
get
strike.
Up and going.
Yeah, it can be the difference here. Again, very, very little confidence. We head up north. The unbeaten Cowboys heading to Suncorp to take on the bruised up Broncos, chasing their first 4-0 start since 2007. Therese Robson's 100th first grade game. Tristan Saylor at fullback. Cool.
Love it.
Adam Reynolds is named. Let's see how that plays out. They obviously won't risk him if he's 50-50, so we'll see what happens there. Fletcher Baker starting at 10 now. Jaden Hunt, 11. The bench is Smoothie, Willison, Hetherington, Corey Oates at 17, which to me suggests a real lack of much depth left, to be honest. Yep. For the Cowboys, they get Zach Labatt back, which pushes... Who comes out? Who played centres last week? Valame.
Yes.
Pushes Valame back out of the side. The rest is what we've seen to start the year. Well, I'm going to tip the Cowboys. I think they've just hit the ground running this year, and they hit the Brisbane Broncos at the right time. Without their strike and without the ability, really, to match them too well in the middle of the field. Obviously, Carrigan, Jensen work their collective asses off, but they're just in a real good groove, the Cowboys, and they've got improvement. Going to go with Val Holmes to score first, but a great clash of those centres. We know where those points can come from. And man of the match, actually, I'll go with Val as well. He's had a good start to the year. We haven't really spent a lot of time talking about him, but he's been in the right place in attack, at least, more often than not this year.
Fantastic footwork and speed. For mine, it comes down to, I think the Broncos can still probably match this Cowboys pack in the middle of the field just due to size.
Yeah.
If they get, if they get the attitude right and the big guys rolling through the middle, they could probably contain this Cowboys pack without, the Cowboys might still end up on top, but I don't think you'll see a lot of damage through the middle of the field. But these outside backs have just started to really warm to the task. You've seen Drinkwater now start throwing those cutout passes that we've seen him do. Val's been light on his feet and beating defenders and scoring tries. You've got the likes of Tuilagi on the outside of him or on the other side of the field that's, you know, a proven finisher. So I just think there's a little more strike factor once you get to the outside edges, obviously. The Broncos are extremely undermanned. So 1-12, Cowboys did man of the match. I think this will be played a little bit more inside of the field rather than to the edges. Yep. I think as it gets a bit later, those big bodies might get a bit tired and you'll see the likes of Dearden and Robson getting in and around and causing problems. And I'm actually going to go with Robson first try score. Wouldn't be surprised if you see a dummy half charge and jump over in the first sort of 10 minutes next to the post somewhere.
5:30 from Wynn, we get the Dragons hosting the Sea Eagles. We've got, who we got here, Francis Molo coming back into the starting team. And joined by Jaden Sewer and Jacob Little. So welcoming back some bodies there. Yep. And DeBell and Marshke, Fatala Mariner go back to the bench as a result. Hamless Sele is back as well, meaning that Mulhuizen, Molo and Fifita all drop out. We get the same Sea Eagles team we saw last week, simply named on an extended bench for now. So whether or not he comes into this team, we'll see. Tommy Talau is on an extended bench as well. May come in for Vega if they so choose. This is DCE's 309th game for Manly, which equals Cliffy as most games.
Yeah, right.
And, yeah, Ruben Garrick needs a couple of points for 1,000 in the NRL. Any hope here for the Dragons?
Remember the umbrella defence from, like, the late 90s?
Mm-hmm.
Where the middle holds and the outside backs go and charge? Like, for mine, this is the way to defend Manly at the moment.
Okay.
Because they're so interested in going to the outside edges. Just get your wingers charge off the line, centres go with them, and then have the umbrella around them. So that outside shift is negated, realistically, unless you're going to come back in and start kicking in behind the line, which obviously depends on how good your fullback is and where he gets into position. But that's probably their only hope, to bring back the umbrella defence from the late 90s, because I can't see the outside backs being able to contain Manly's if they're getting the ball with an up and in or up and out defense, trying to control the likes of Tommy Cooler and the likes out wide. I think Manly blow them open pretty early and they continue to do so. Dragons' hope obviously is to burrow through the middle. They've got some really good ins back through the middle of the field, and if they can try to contain Manly through the middle of the field, they might get close, and then DC will just start kicking along and then start adding pressure, and then they'll just start shifting from side to side of the field and probably still win 13+. So, good luck, Dragons. Manly 13+, DCE man of the match, and I'm going to go with Ben Trbojevic, first try scorer, short ball off Luke Brooks on the left edge.
He's had a quiet couple of weeks, super coach-wise, Trbojevic, but I feel like he'll make amends this week.
Yep.
Yeah, score early, score often, Dragons' heads go down, and we see if that happens, 14 points very quickly will lead to many, many more. Man of the match, Tommy Turbo, really come back in great form. We just haven't noticed. I suppose isn't as touted as much with some other
he's people going. He's just not scoring hat tricks.
Exactly.
He's just scoring he's setting one up.
And going to go first try. Let's go with Garrick. Just because I've got to pick one of those outside backs, they'll pick one of them, they'll hit them, they'll do something fancy and they'll score. One of the easier ones for me, at least, to sort out now. We've got to now talk.
Yeah, I just think it'll be the other side of the field. I think their left edge is probably stronger in defence than their right edge, but
I will say that
throw it up in the air and see where it lands.
Correct. I'll say that the Dragons forward pack does have a bit of mass to them now and looks a lot stronger with the ins. Molo, Laurie, Leilua, Sua.
Yeah, and I think they may have a little bit of luck there and score a couple of tries, you know, breaking down the middle from Manly. But, that's not their go-to this year. So,
see if Flanagan has any trick shots against his old team. Well, the team he was at last year, assistant coaching. Titans hosting the Dolphins at Cbus, where Dolphins beat them twice last year. Notino, obviously. Jaden Campbell has been named to play. Foran and Boyd are still in the halves. AJ still in the centres. I wonder how much longer that lasts. David Feeder's named 18th man, so you'd assume if he's fit, we see him into the team. Obviously, Keeney drops out for Campbell. Ray Stone's back from concussion, replaces Jared Wallace. The rest are essentially the team that knocked off the Dragons a couple of weeks ago. Again, I can't find too much hope here for the Titans. I would need to see something before I tip the Titans.
100%.
There's very little spark to even go looking for in the darkness. So I only have the Dolphins 13 plus because they're, as you've said, I think the line speed's going to, that they've shown in the first couple of weeks is going to just allow some of these strike players to really do what they want. Nikarim will start digging the line. Herbie and Jake Averillo are going to start sniffing around and points are going to start coming. I'm going to go Herbie man of the match. In fact, he might just pot plant.
I was thinking the same way, but I didn't actually land there. But yeah, it wouldn't surprise me.
He's got Brian Kelly, and he's playing really good footy. Actually, his first couple of games this year—not a shock, but a chance to really put it on here. So let's go man of the match, and now let's go the daily double. Man of the match first try for Herbie. I think the halves are in for a good game. They'll allow Nikarima time and space to run, and Katoa. Full of confidence with his contract extension, I think can really look to stamp his credentials here as a half.
I think it all starts in the middle, to be honest. Now, without Tino as well, Dolphins have got a strong enough middle to hold that, and I think you're going to see Jeremy Marshall-King put on a display in this game. I think you're going to see crash plays, you're going to see cutout passes off the dummy half for back rowers to score. You're going to see real good clean service out to the outside backs and then cut out passes to wingers to score. You're going to see Hamaso trailing back through the middle. And yeah, this could be an absolute massacre by the end of this game. Titans need three David Fifitas to turn up, and one playing on either edge and one playing at lock. And then they probably will be competitive. But at the moment, their defensive structure is trash. And well, David Fifita doesn't help that, but at least he can see, he probably score a few tries. So, I think this Dolphins team is just way too fast, and they're going to pull this defensive line apart, and you're going to see a 13-plus score. Jeremy Marshall-King, man of the match, and I'm going to go with Bostock, first try scorer for the Dolphins.
Sunday kicks off in what's that place across New Zealand, over there in New Zealand?
Auckland.
They host the Knights, where the Knights haven't won in 5 years. We've got RTS gets the one back on his back with Tuipiki out with concussion. Pompey back into the centres. Niokore's back. Dylan Walker's also on the bench and Egan named again. It'd be good to see him. What's that meant? It means that Laban goes out of the team as well. Jess Tavanga is the other one pushed off the bench, who has been good, as mentioned. For Newcastle, no Leo Thompson. He accepted his one-match ban. Saivete starts. Brody Jones under the bench. No Hastings again. I just can't see them going there and beating this Warriors team. I know Warriors only won from three, but they were in both those other games. I think they're going to bash the middle.
Should have won both of those games.
They should have won the first game. I think they're going to bash the middle out of this Newcastle team, and I don't think they're going to have many answers, especially missing Leo Thompson as well. They'll play exactly how they play best. First try scorer will go with Roger on the back of a sweep, cutting back through the middle. Right foot step, bang, palm, score. So kick us off, and if it's not him, it's probably going to be Fanua Blake. But man of the match, why jump off a good thing? Tohu Harris just keeps producing. Keep our name Elliott in line there. 1-12 though. At this stage, till we really start seeing the Warriors start putting their foot down.
I think it'll be 1-12 just for the fact that Newcastle will get behind them, start playing a bit of touch footy, and the likes of Gay Guy, Bradman Best. That's when they're at their best, realistically. Given one-on-one opportunities and a bit of early ball, which they're probably going to have to get towards the back end of this game. I still think Newcastle might even start a little bit better than the Warriors, because they've shown a tendency to be a little bit slow for the first 15 minutes of a couple of games this year. And I'm going to go with Gay Guy to score the first try for Newcastle, but I'm going to go with the Warriors. I'm actually going to go 13+ because I think by the back end of this game, you're going to see RTS just probing on both sides of the field, scoring tries and setting them up, combining with Metcalf, Sean Johnson. He already knows what they're going to do before they do it. Like he's just got a footy IQ above a lot of blokes, and he just... Whenever the ball's in a certain position, he's within arm's reach of the ball. So when they sweep left, he's going to be there. When they sweep right, when they need an inside player, it's going to be him. And he'll probably score a double and set up a try or two as well. So RTS man of the match, Warriors 13+. But I'm going to go Newcastle to score the first try with Gay Guy.
6 o'clock Sunday, Sharks host the Raiders at Shark Park with the spate of changes here. No Finucane, no Hunt, no Rudolph. Cale Iroh comes into the centres. Talakai goes into the back row. Hazelton and Confusi start. Atkinson on the bench. Jack Williams on the bench. Billy Burns on the bench. Howe Tapua also make up the 17 for the Raiders. As we said earlier, no Horsburgh named, but he's on the extended bench. Mariota, it comes back as well. James Schiller comes in for Hopewada, who had the burns. And Seb Chris is back as well.
Had the burns.
Had the burns. What a bad time for the Sharks to meet the Raiders, Barn.
Do the Sharks have Billy Burns? Anyway.
Yes.
Yeah, I know. And they've got a horrible, horrible record against the Raiders ever since old mate Michael Ennis got up and did the thunderclap against the crowd in the semi-final. And it's been well documented. I think they've won one game out of about 11 ever since against the Raiders. But it's similar to Souths. It's backs against the wall. Like that performance was... Like if you consider yourself a top eight team and you come out and put in a performance like that and get absolutely towed by the team that won the Wooden Spoon the week before, you need to show something the week after. So Talakai on that right edge where Nakora normally is will be that reset point for Hines. And I think he'll start. I wouldn't be surprised if Talakai scores a double in that position, to be honest. I've scribbled out Canberra three times here and the Sharks twice. And have ended up with Sharks 1-12 just because of the bounce back factor. And realistically, if you want to be a team that considers yourself a top eight team now, this is a game that you have to win. And even without some forward players there, I think they're going to have to go with the, you know, what's the next best option? Get the ball wide, get the ball to strike players in Mulatalo, Katoa, Talakai on an edge. And it'll be tough. It'll be. You know, the forward battle will probably be won by Canberra and probably be won convincingly because the Sharks have a lot of middle forwards out and they never had a real strong middle to begin with. But I think the ball movement and some kicking will get the Sharks home just 1-12, probably a 2-point margin at the back end of it. Man of the match, we'll go with Hines because if it's going to happen, it'll be him to do it. And I'm going to go with a first try scorer. I'm going to go with Iroh in the Talakai position. You know, the bit of the footwork which hasn't been in that position at the moment. So all parochial fucking biased bullshit. Sharks 1-12. Hines man of the match. Iroh first try scorer. Tell me that the Raiders win by 14 and. I've got no idea what I'm talking about.
Raiders are better the weekend. I can't believe they're $2.60. Yeah. Can't believe they're $2.60 outsiders in this game. They'll bash Sharks out of this. They'll own the middle, set it up. I'm never going to tip them 13+ because they're the Raiders. But you just look at this and you go, there's just too much stock missing. They would have to play particularly badly to get towed up here. And they're capable of it, but we just haven't seen it this year. I think, yeah, I'm going to go 1-12 Raiders. I think... They're going to just own that middle of the park. So we'll go with... actually, we're going to go Jamal Fogarty man of the match. But even though they'll own the middle, I don't really want to single out one of the forwards. They do a pretty good job of all doing the work. We know how integral Fogarty is to that. And it'll probably be really on Nico to match him. And we're going to have to see it before we can, I want to believe it again right now. First try, Rapana. He's had a great start this year. He'll be in and about sniffing somewhere there and pop up with his, you know, slappable head and off he goes. I think he's got a milestone game as well, but I hadn't written it down. Might be 200th game or something like that. But, yeah, like I said, short and sweet for disaster class for me this week. I'm putting $100 on the Raiders at $2.60.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, that'll do. I need something. Anyway, I also need something here. 4 o'clock on Monday, CommBank Stadium. The Eels host the Tigers. No Moses. Blaze Talangi at 7. Sivo comes back onto the wing. Harper back into the centres. Brown at 7. Cartwright named, but is pending checks on his ribs. If they are fractured, could be up to 2 months, apparently, which doesn't help. They're the main chances there. No chances for... one change for the Tigers. Twile out with his HIA. Kapoa comes into the bench. I really gave this thought, but we know in this match as well, it's just a traditional match. Tigers get rammed at some point in the game. I think they're one from the last five at CommBank, but something wacky always happens in this game. I'm going to go Eels Golden Point.
Right.
So I'll be angry about something come the time we do the show, because there's always something weird that pops up. But I think this matches up as a cracker. Maybe I'm underplaying how well Power are going, but Power 1-12 in some sort of fucked finish. First try scorer, let's go Olam to start off on that edge, troubling them again. And what? Gutho's going to be the one that's going to get him around the park, isn't he now? Man of the match.
No, I think it'll be Dylan Brown.
Okay.
A lot of short balls. There's going to be a lot of work in with the back rowers in Lane and Hopgood, and I think they're going to be the downfall for the Tigers in this game, to be honest. The way that it has been for a while. Appy will cause all sorts of problems through the middle of the ruck, but there's no way that this forward pack's going to match Parramatta for mine. And so Appy's not going to be on the front foot and be able to do as much as he did before, but he will be integral to what the Tigers do. And it will be close. I think it'll be a 1-12 match, but I think Parramatta will just get get away with it with a couple of maybe even grubbers in behind the line or short passes for the likes of Hopgood and Sean Lane to score tries just on those outside edges up against the likes of Galvin, Bud Sullivan, who else is playing halves for you guys. But I think there's going to be a lot of work sent in their direction, especially on the line. But Galvin's made 42 tackles in two games and has not missed one. So
yeah,
maybe they have to go to the left instead of the right, which is Hopgood. So Sean, one of the back rowers to score the first try for Parramatta, Dylan Brown to be man of the match.
All right, one of the back rowers, GT, write that down.
We'll go to the left. We'll go Sean Lane, first try scorer.
Yeah, he had a quite
Dylan Brown, man of the match.
Yeah,
Parramatta 1-12.
Cool. Have you got a bet? Have you had a look at that yet, or you nothing? All right, send it through to a graphic for Facebook. Yeah, there it is. What's got you frothing?
Oh, I mentioned Easter Sunday for mine. The Warriors and Knights, I think it'd be a very good forward clash for about half an hour, and then the Warriors will take over. But it's the number ones for mine. I think whoever wins that game will come from a dominant performance from the fullback, either Ponga or RTS, and I'm leaning RTS, but I've been wrong many, many, many times before. And I'm looking for, Canberra's got a massive record against the Sharks. And if there's no bounce back this week from the Sharks, then I'm going to be pretty sad for the rest of the season, I would imagine. So
I've got to say Thursday night, I'm very interested to see how the Roosters do line up coming up against Penrith. And even though we're on the wrong end of it a lot of the time, the Easter Monday game's always fun. Something crazy always happens. There's
always something weird happens on the Easter Monday.
So, we will.
What was the last one? I think it was like three field goals.
There were three field goals. There was the one Gutho was 3 metres offside.
And then one in extra time.
There was the one where Gutho was in front of the fucking play the ball and they kicked it to him. And they scored off that. There was. But a while ago, Tigers had a decent enough streak in this game, but that was many, many moons ago. Always fun. I usually watch with Damo or someone and G each other up, but see how it goes. That's it. Don't talk about me. Well, let's get out of here and let Barney go to sleep. We'll be back next week. Are you thinking Monday night or are you thinking later on?
No, Monday's the preference.
Yeah, we'll do Monday night always review preference. Straight after the Tigers game. I'm going to be a boat for a couple of days. So
yeah,
not sure how much footy I'll get
to
see.
Tuesday.
Well, no, I'm thinking I might try and tee up a third party to help us out and I can just steer the whatever ship we're on now.
Right.
Might even ask.
Talk about we're doing the on air fucking.
I'll be back for the Tigers
on air meetings.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, yeah, we can do that off air, can't we? All right. Bye, everyone. Subscribe.
See ya.
Leave us feedback. Bye bye.